Well, welcome to the first in a series of webinars that we've entitled God on Mission. I'm Jim Folsom, GBIM's Communication Officer, and today I have the privilege of serving as your host as we look at Latin America. I want to thank you for joining Dave Giles and me as we begin this new adventure on the web. Now, as the editor of GBIM Publications, every day I'm hearing amazing stories of how God is at work in our world. We have ministries on 5 continents in over 30 countries. And some days, it just gets a little overwhelming. Now, if it seems overwhelming to us, we can only imagine how it must seem to you. And this is the reason Dave and I have been creating a series of 30-minute webinars. For the next 5 months, on the third Tuesday of each month, we will focus on one of these 5 continents. In March, we'll focus on Africa, then Asia, Europe, and North America. You can see the entire list and pre-register for all the webinars at gbim.org/webinar. Now, Dave's going to take about 20 minutes tonight to share highlights of the ministry in Latin America, and we'll dedicate the remaining time to answering your questions. Now, if some of you are new to webinar technology, let me take a quick moment to introduce several times by asking you to take a poll, a survey. Now, how do you do that? Well, let's do a sample poll right now. I'm going to launch the poll. And in your browser window, you're going to see on your computer, what experience do you have with webinars, our quick poll. Go ahead and vote. Select, this is my first webinar, or go ahead and select, I've participated in other webinars. And now it'll take a while. Look, 67, 75. There we go. Now I'm going to close the poll, and I'll share the results with you. Okay, it's pretty close. 45% of you say, this is my first webinar. 55% say, I have participated in other webinars. So that's fantastic. Now, you're going to wonder, okay, I'm attending a webinar. Can I ask questions? Well, you can't ask them verbally, but you have a panel on the right side of your screen that says questions. Feel free at any time during the webinar to type in your question. I'm going to collect them, and then at the end of the webinar during our 10-minute question and answers time, I'll submit them to Dave, and he will answer them. So, great. You've got the idea now, so without any further ado, let me introduce you to Dave Giles, our Executive Director.
All our listeners at this first in our series of webinars, and I also want to welcome Steve Bailey, our Regional Director for Latin America, who's seated at the table with me and who's going to help us as we unveil a little bit of how God seems to be on mission today in Latin America. To get us started, we want to introduce you to Gustavo Gonzalez, a husband and father of 4 from Rosario, a city or Googie as his friends call him, about 20 years ago. And I was impressed as a young man in seeing the kind of thirst that he had for knowing God and his desire to be able to become a teacher and a disciple of others. And so we were really pleased when he connected with missionary Gary McCammon and really grew over the years through that mentoring relationship and became a leader. Significant step forward in 2006 when he and his wife joined a Latin American GO team to the country of Kyrgyzstan. He wrote after that trip, he said, we began to pray that we would live not just within God's will, but at the very center of his will, so as to do whatever he wants us to do. Well, that commitment to do take their family up northeast to the province and to the city called Corrientes. Now, it may not seem very impressive to you for someone to only move maybe 1,000 kilometers or less from his home, but for a Latin American, this is rather extraordinary. And Steve, I want to invite you just to share with our listeners what it means to a Latin American to leave home. How close families are, how close-knit they are, it's something I've always appreciated and loved about the culture. But you raise children to be close to you. You raise children so that you can be close to your grandchildren. You raise children so that they can take care of you in your old age. And it's just not very common for a child to pick up and move away from his parents, even after marrying. Matter of fact, it's very into, the city of Corrientes. Corrientes can be a very dangerous place. There's high unemployment in the city, illustrated by the fact that one out of three people that live there are on government subsidy. Lots of crime takes place in the city. Crimes are associated with poverty. One example I remember Googie sharing with us in a, letter was that there was an attempted kidnapping of It's a very also a very dangerous place.
So why would the Gonzalez family leave home, a secure income, and extended family to move to a place like Corrientes?
Let's hear him answer this that question in his own words, and I'm quoting Googie now. He says, at the beginning when they first moved to Corrientes, we asked ourselves, why are we here? Because God brought us here. Wondering what we might have accomplished at home, but with the conviction that we were accomplishing His will. Then something started to change in our hearts. Perhaps we began to see with the Lord's eyes and feel His compassion and see that the harvest is ripe and there is much to do. Gustavo continues to share and challenges us with these words. Brothers and sisters, he writes, let's leave our who are perishing. We are in the world to demonstrate the love of God. But let's keep the church's mission simple and without complications by asking God, what do you want me to do?
Wow. Well, that really sums up the often untold story of Latin America, that in spite of economic obstacles and family pressures, it seems like more and more Latins are leaving. This has been a dream of yours. It's got to bring great satisfaction to you.
Yeah, it really does. And I'm really pumped that in three countries, Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina, where we've been the longest, our national churches have now formed their own missionary sending agencies. Those agencies are responsible for deploying more than 40 missionaries.
So if we look at Latin America and we think about it, we really need to let our mind dwell on this new reality. In the global missions community, and that theme's going to run through our webinar tonight. But we want to ask that question. Here's a church that's getting mobilized. What challenges might many Latin American churches face as they send out their own missionaries? And Jim, it's time for a survey. So let's see what our listeners think about that.
Great. Well, here's a quick poll. What are the primary challenges faced by Latin American churches? Enough funds, inadequate cross-cultural training, hard to leave home and family, all of the above. And you folks are really on top of it. 80% have already cast their votes. We're going to keep the poll open here just for another few seconds. 87%, man, we are just flying to the top. I'm excited to see what your responses are. Right. Looks like it's time to close the poll, and let me share the results with you. All right, 7% said inadequate cross-cultural training, but 93% of you said all of the above. So,
well,
Steve, Dave, how did they do?
I think they did pretty well, but why don't we turn that over to Steve. Tell us what you would consider to be the right answers, and then unpack for us a little bit. Send out their own missionaries.
You guys are pretty sharp, of course. The answer is all of the above. When you think about not enough funds, the funds that are collected here in the States through initiatives like the Day of Generosity allow us to provide grants that, together with the support that is raised in Latin American churches, provides the financial support for the missionaries. But in many cases, it's inadequate. When you think about inadequate cross-cultural training, which is another obstacle, we're going to talk about that later tonight. I mean, we are partnering to develop more effective leadership training systems to prepare Latins for cross-cultural ministry. As we think about it being hard for Latin Americans to leave home and their family, as we saw in Googie's story, we don't really have a quick and easy solution to that.
and what it means to make sacrifices to leave our loved ones, even though we recognize it's often much harder for our Latin American brothers and sisters to do.
Well, good. I'd like to shift gears for a few moments then, and perhaps we can turn our attention to the unique spiritual soil of Argentina. Steve and I, as we've thought about this, we've identified three main characteristics of that soil, and here's the first. Segment of Latin American evangelicals are those of Pentecostal persuasion. In fact, according to the recent Operation World that was just published this year, they calculate that 66 million Pentecostals live in Latin America, and that's out of a total of 91 million evangelicals. That means a little bit more than two out of every three people who claim to be part of the evangelical movement would come out of that background. As you think, the phenomenal growth of the Pentecostal church.
You know, they say that the path to a Latin American's mind goes first through his heart. And that's something that's really not true here in North America or in Europe, where the theologies that we've developed tend to be much more cerebral, much more objective, and more purely intellectual in nature. And why the Pentecostal so much numerical growth, it often leaves us wondering how much sound doctrine is really taking root in the lives of the believers there. So we come, that brings us to one of the crying needs of Latin America today, to train a new generation of leaders to do theology in a thoroughly Latin American way. We need a Latin theology that answers the questions of a Latin to the eternal and unchanging Word of God.
Wow. So you would say that the path to a Latin American's mind goes first through his heart, and we need a theology that's more complete and that deals with both the heart and the head.
For sure.
Amen to that. A second characteristic of Latin American soil, we've discovered it is a continent that is rich in natural resources, but often those resources are squandered. A lot of discussion about systemic injustice and poverty. Those are real issues that the church faces, aren't they?
Well, poverty is a huge issue. And contrary to what many Westerners might think, the poor of Latin America aren't poor because they're lazy, and they aren't poor because they're unwilling to work. There are basic foundational problems with the social and governmental systems. In cycles of poverty. In other words, in Latin America, like much of the what is called the two-thirds world, there's really no such thing as a level playing field.
So what answers does the church have for a society that's facing systemic injustice and poverty?
Well, this serves as a great illustration of our first point, and that's the need to develop a truly Latin theology. Books for a good treatment on the poor. In other words, look and see if you can find in those books anything about what it means to live and what it means to minister among the poor. And I don't think you're going to find too much, because for the most part, the North Americans and the Europeans who wrote those theology books were not wrestling with those issues in the same way our churches in Latin America are, where the theology as they write and they study, and in many cases are themselves victims of poverty.
So give us a few examples, Steve, of what some of our churches are currently doing to try to address this issue of systemic injustice and poverty.
Well, they're doing a lot, and one example that comes to mind is our church in Berazategui, which is a suburb in the southern part of the city of Buenos Aires. Right in the middle to distribute, they collect food to distribute, they raise money for that, they take blood pressure of people in the neighborhood, they provide tutoring for the children of the neighborhood, school tutoring, and they combine this with Bible reading for those who take advantage of these opportunities. We also have a postmodern church planning team working in the city of La Plata who is seeking poor. They're using things like English teaching and children's and youth sports ministries and a wide variety of other creative ideas to impact families with the love of Jesus Christ in a practical way.
So another characteristic of Latin American soil is this deep yearning for a gospel that addresses both the here and now as well as eternity. Minister to the whole person, and a church that's sending out missionaries who have that same commitment to address all of human suffering, and of course especially eternal suffering. Let's move to that third characteristic we've identified of Latin American soil, and I think it's illustrated well with the story of Gustavo that we shared at the beginning of our webinar, this growing commitment of churches to send their own missionaries.
Started in 1986 when a small church in Buenos Aires sent a couple, a retired couple, members of the church to plant a church in the neighboring country of Uruguay. There had been other isolated missionary efforts in the past, but this one seemed to start a domino effect, and by the late 1990s, the young people of our churches began to catch the missionary fever. Information available on the internet about world missions, and young people began to organize their own missionary conferences, and they became a catalyst to missions in Latin America. Same similar stories can be told of Brazil and Mexico, but all this missionary movement in Latin America is not without its challenges. As we said, many of the missionaries struggle to develop an adequate support base, as the churches they're so lacking, many of the missionaries being sent, they're lacking training and cross-cultural skills.
And so I think it's out of this need, they're recognizing that they're inviting us in North America, and especially GBAM, to partner with them. It's their mission initiative, but they don't believe they're supposed to do it alone. And I think that's a healthy sign, isn't it? A sign of a desire for partnership.
For sure.
Well, let me summarize what we've talked about. Goes first through his heart. Secondly, that anyone working among Latin Americans has to develop an adequate theology of holism. That is how the gospel addresses both our immediate and our eternal needs. And finally, we've talked about how Latin American churches are taking their place in the global missions community, but they're inviting us to join them in partnership.
Right. Well, why don't we take a survey related to a little bit of our history. Can you identify the first missionary team leader sent by GBIM to Latin America? Was it Jacob Castle, James Gribble, or Charles Yoder? And we'll just take a few minutes. Well, we're at 50% voted already. You folks seem to be up on your history. And then I'll share the results with you, and we'll see how everyone does. All right, let me close this poll. You guys did a great job, and here are the results. Jacob Castle received 21% of the votes. James Gribble, 7%. Charles Yoder, 71%. So Dave, do you want to let them know?
History a little better perhaps than the others. That's the correct answer. Dr. Yoder and his family, along with a single missionary woman, landed in Argentina in 1909. And we understand that they chose Argentina because they thought it was among the most difficult areas for ministry in South America. They moved to the interior city of Rio Cuarto, where they established a church and towns and villages, and ultimately we see that movement even spreading throughout the world. But I think it's interesting, as I've studied this history, to see how holistic their original ministry was. They preached the gospel, they distributed Bibles, they ministered to the poor, they ministered to orphans and widows, they encouraged education. It was a very complete evangelistic and church planting ministry. Well, several decades then passed.
And we as the Grace Brethren were ready now to move into other countries. And that happened in rather rapid succession. Brazil in 1949, to the Mexico-California border in 1951, Puerto Rico 1959. We were there for about 19 years. We moved into the massive city of Mexico City in 1963. And I wish we had time to celebrate the first, but I think one of the most interesting stories for us today is that of Bill and Ivan Gene Burke. Steve, you get to see them occasionally. Tell us a little bit more about them.
Yeah, I do. I get to visit them about once a year with the goal of encouraging them, and I usually end up being the one encouraged. I mean, Bill and Ivan Gene are in their 80s now, and they're still going strong. They're preaching, they're teaching, they're discipling leaders. They're writing discipleship material. Onto the day God calls him home. What an example. This guy wants to die with his boots on. He wants to be useful to his Lord until the last minute. What an example of finishing well, and may his tribe increase.
And they arrived in August of 1954 and still going. They're among my heroes of the faith. And so we do celebrate the faithfulness of these early pioneers. Where, as we stated, in partnership with Latins, we are entering new countries. And Steve, you've been able to see a lot of this happen even during your 25 years with us. Tell us some about it.
Well, we currently have 24 GBIM missionaries serving in Latin America. We have 37 national ministry partners sent from the Latin American Church on mission. 51 churches in formation, what we call points of light. In recent years, we've added the countries of Guatemala and Uruguay and Paraguay and Chile and Nicaragua, and we have a few more in the pipeline under consideration.
And I think an important caveat for this is that most of these new countries are not being first penetrated by North Americans.
That's exactly right.
But it is the Latin Church that's mobilizing and sending a survey.
All right. Well, let's take one more survey. And this survey focuses on discovering how many of our listeners are part of churches that support one or more of the 24 GBIM North American missionaries serving in Latin America. So you can vote for multiple countries here, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, or none of the above. Wow, we're at 60%. I am just amazed at how fast you just jump on this and vote. It is great. All right, let me close this poll, and I will show you the results. I'll share with you the results here. 50% Mexico, Brazil 60%, Chile 40%. So that is
Jim and Steve. I understand that our ministry focus in Latin America is in two principal areas now: church planting and leadership training. So let's start with church planting and just give a little thumbnail sketch. What does it look like, church planting in Latin America, in an age when churches are taking on that responsibility and in which we are now working as partners?
Well, in church planting, we work as we consider new fields to enter, as we consider sending missionaries and partnering with it. Everything's done in partnership. Now, on existing fields, in the majority of the cases, the missionaries that we currently have on the field, whether they're sent from here in GBIM or whether they're national ministry partners sent from Latin America, the ongoing shepherding and logistical support of those missionary teams is being provided.
Say is the team now, well, several examples, but a good example, that would be the team in Mexico City.
Yeah, it's true. Mexico City, the ministry is led by a guy by the name of Walter Testa, who is an Argentine, sent by the Argentine Church, once a pastor of the oldest and largest Grace Brethren Church in Argentina, the one Charles Yoder started in 1909. He has a great vision for sending out work country of Mexico and Central America. He's definitely an apostle who never stops thinking of ways to advance the work of God.
But he's not alone, is he? And we've discovered that those who are strong apostolically also probably need a partner who has a different focus.
That's right. Joining him on the team there in Mexico City and working as well in the rest of Mexico and Central America is Gerardo Pérez. Provide a healthy balance for our team and our church planners who very much need the shepherding touch that Walter has trouble giving them because of his apostolic bent and gifting. We also have some North Americans on the team, Bess and Brenda and Denver Murray, all veteran missionaries who provide a wealth of experience in disciple making, and they add a lot of wisdom and stability.
We have another one of those in Quirico, Chile, not only that, but teams as well working along the Amazon Valley River. We've got them working in among the urban poor, as you've mentioned, in La Plata, Argentina. So church planting definitely remains a priority for us, and it's where we partner with Latin American churches, but we are also partnering in this second area, which is to provide innovative leadership training opportunities.
Practical for leaders and potential leaders to leave their jobs and homes and their ministries and move away to attend a Bible college or a seminary for several years. So we have to provide decentralized leadership training. We have to take the training to where they are. And one example of that training is something that Gary McCammon and his team of Argentine theologians provide Bible training for Argentina and Chile and Uruguay and Mexico. In Brazil, Bruce Triplehorn works with several dozen Brazilian leaders as they provide solid biblical training for our churches and church planting works throughout that country. But wherever the training is and whatever form it takes, it's always going to emphasize the whole person, body and spirit. For ministry.
So a strong emphasis on disciple making that produces churches, that's the church planting part, and also a lot of disciple making that produces leaders, both for the churches and for the harvest, and all that being done in partnership, as you've mentioned.
Right.
Well, Steve, we're going to take a moment then and just wrap up what your vision is for Latin America. Many people listening to us might not realize it was our two families. But we went there for the first time in 1987, 1988, after language study. And you've been there for a long time. You've recently relocated to the States. We've got some other big projects you're working on in addition to directing Latin America. But your heart certainly is there. And as you look at Latin America, how would you summarize the vision that you believe God's given you for that region?
Well, Latin America, full responsibility for training their own leaders, as well as training and sending their own missionaries. We want to see local churches who are fully engaged in addressing the spiritual and the physical needs of their communities in ways that demonstrate the power of Jesus Christ to transform lives. In short, we want to see Latin America reached for Jesus Christ and the world impacted
webinar when we can turn to questions sent in by the participants. And Jim, I know you mentioned that when we started, but let's just take a moment for you to remind people how they can send those questions in.
All right. Well, you have a question box in your menu on the right-hand side. Just feel free to type in your question, and I will pass it along to Dave. And while you're doing that, Dave, a reason?
Well, it's difficult for us to, talk about every single person we have deployed there. Steve gave the numbers, and they're encouraging numbers. So we do have tools where we can make that information available. And if anyone listening to us tonight does not yet have a copy of the 2011 annual prayer guide, that contains a wealth of information with all of our missionaries and the national mission. We would love to send you a copy of it. It becomes a daily prayer guide. You can go on to the corresponding day on our website and find even more information. So that information is available. And actually, as we take our tour around the globe over the next several months, we're going to come to some regions in the world where we can't even put everyone's picture up there. If we had enough time, we couldn't do it because of security reasons. So I hope we've been obviously more missionaries engaged there than what we're able to talk about. But Steve, maybe we could turn to two of those teams that you and I find to be quite interesting today. Tell us a little bit more about this Team La Plata and what their ministry focus is.
Well, on Team La Plata, we have three postmodern families, the Dunleavys, the Elledges, and the Gornicks. And they're living right on the edge of a village or a shanty town, slum area in a large city of La Plata, the capital of the province of Buenos Aires. And they're just doing a great job, doing everything they can to touch people with the love of Jesus Christ. They've just gotten their foot in the door. They've gotten involved in so many families through children's and youth ministries. And La Plata.
And I think learning a lot about ministry among the urban poor, which is
exactly
not
right.
Just doing ministry in a more economical way or simplifying things. It is a different approach. It's a different mentality. It's a subculture. And I think they're learning a lot. And we're hoping that through their experiences, we can learn things to apply to other regions as well.
That's so true.
And now on the other side of the continent, just about way up north, you have some things you can tell us about that.
Well, we have Wayne and Ellen Patton and Dave and Kim Johnson are developing a ministry. And they're in the early stages of that ministry now, but to reach the people who live out on the Amazon Delta region of northern Brazil. And those are areas, many of those areas, Amazon Bill Burke, of unreached people, unreached communities, communities without any gospel witness living out in that river. And Wayne and Dave are working hard to seek to mobilize the Brazilian churches to go out and reach these people and establish churches among those folks.
Well, we hope to hear lots more about both those ministries over the next couple of years, but it certainly gives us a lot to pray about. And speaking of any additional questions for us, Jim?
I do have two more questions for you.
Go ahead.
Since Steve is now based in the States, who's the leader on the field of Argentina?
Well, that's a good question. One of the reasons why I was able to relocate here is because in Argentina we have a very capable leader. His name is Eduardo Pisi, and he's an Argentine who is a professor of biology . He has left his high school administrative duties and continues to teach, but with that little bit of extra time, he's helping to mentor and shepherd and organize our mentoring and shepherding in the Southern Cone, everything from Brazil on down. I also have Bruce Triplehorn handling those duties in Brazil, and Walter Testa, as we talked about earlier, in Mexico and Central America. And I praise the Lord for those and are certainly doing a great job.
And from my perspective, as someone who's known Steve for so long, I just am so pleased that he's worked his way out of a job in many ways. So continuing to direct Latin America, but not needing to have boots on the ground there because God has raised up another level of leadership there, and those are the three key men that he has described recently, and of course lots of others.
Question. Is GBIM still recruiting Americans to serve in Latin America?
Well, yeah, we are, and we'd be glad to talk to anybody who would feel called to Latin America. The only caveat that we have is that we want to make sure that we're working in partnership with our Latin American churches. And anybody that came to me today and said, I want to go to Latin America as a missionary, depending on where they wanted to go, the mission agency in Mexico, the mission agency in Brazil, and say, do you have a place for a church planner to join your team? And if they have a team to join, we would send that person to join that team. So everything in Latin America now is being done in partnership with the Latin Americans.
Well, very good. Thank you, Jim. Jim has already shared with us how we can go on the website, gbim.org/webinars, and see when the next four webinars are scheduled and even sign up for those. And if you're able to sign up for them tonight, I believe that that'll mean that you'll get a reminder sent to you as well in your email box so that you won't forget it when those things come up. But again, we sincerely thank you for being with us in Global Prayer Walk when we're calling on churches to join us in a nationwide effort to ask God to raise up a new generation of cross-cultural workers to be sent out from our churches. And more information about that is available on the website as well. Let me close then with a prayer for Argentina. Father, we are so grateful that over 100 years ago now, our churches were able to send the first missionaries from our team that worked, spread, and touched many, many lives. I pray for the churches that have emerged, for the leadership that is taking responsibility, that you would guide them, that they would be responsible in developing a clear and biblical theology for Latin America that addresses the unique needs of that continent. Guide us in our work and partnership, both on church planting teams and in leadership training. And I do share Steve, primarily a missionary receiving continent will become more and more a missionary sending continent, and we're beginning to see that become a reality, not only in our group, but in many other groups as well. And so we rejoice in that. And thanks for this technology that allows us to connect. We pray these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.